B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Psochim daf lamed vov. We're going to start six lines from the top of the omet. Tonu rabbonon, and the Gemara here is going to discuss what happens if Yisrael takes his ma'aser sheni produce to Yerushalayim as he's supposed to. He's supposed to eat it in Yerushalayim b'tahara, and he decides to make matzahs from it and use it to eat his kezayis matzah on Leil Pesach in Yerushalayim. The question is, can one use ma'aser sheni flour, ma'aser sheni matzahs, to be ate some mitzvahs matzah? Tonu rabbonon, yochel yetzi odom yedeichi vosoi b'ma'aser sheni b'Yerushalayim. We would have thought, or if it would enter your mind to assume that you can use ma'aser sheni to be yotze mitzvahs matzah on Leil Pesach, no, Talmud loymar, you cannot, because it says in the pasuk lechem oini. The pasuk says loyseichel olav chometz shivas yomim teichel olav matzos lechem oini ki bichipozon yotzasim b'mitzrayim, etc. Matzah is referred to as lechem oini, which is the bread of affliction. And the bread of affliction means that it's something which you're allowed to eat even in a time of grief, even in a time of mourning. Lechem oini, ma she'necheles ba'aninus. The word oini, with an ayin, which means affliction, can also be read as oini with an aleph, which is grieving. That you can only be yotze the mitzvah of matzah if it's lechem oini. Not only it's a bread of affliction, it's also a bread that can be eaten whilst grieving. Aninus min ha-Torah is that when one of a person's seven close relatives passes away, the day that the person passes away is called a day where the person is in grieving and is called an oinon. Afterwards, the 7 days of mourning, that's a different halachas. But as far as oinon is concerned, the day of grieving, the day that the person passes away, then it's explicit in the pasuk that ma'aser sheni is not allowed to be eaten by an oinon. We say when they say the vidui ma'aserus, then they say lo yochalti mimeni ba'oini. I didn't eat the ma'aser sheni whilst in a state of grieving. So since it says that matzah has to be lechem oini, bread that also has to be able to be eaten whilst grieving, it's excluding matzah which is made of ma'aser sheni. Yotzo zeh excludes this matzah she'eino nechal ba'aninus. It's not allowed to be eaten whilst grieving, elo b'simcha, only whilst happy. Divi Rabbi Yosi Aglili, that was the opinion of Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says no. He says matzois matzois ribo. We have in the Torah sometimes where the word matzos is written with a vav, and from the extra vav, the word matzos, we can learn that as an inclusion, that you're even allowed to eat bread that is made of ma'aser sheni. You can even use that type of bread, that type of matzah, for the mitzvah of matzah be'erev toichlu matzos. Asks the Gemara, Imkein, ma Talmud loyma lechem oini? What does Rabbi Akiva do? The fact that the Torah calls this bread a bread of affliction, what does Rabbi Akiva learn from that? He says, "Prat le'iso shenilusha b'yayin v'shemen udvash." The word lechem oini, and oini means affliction, a poor bread or bread of affliction, that means that you haven't enriched the bread whilst in the process of making it. So if you kneaded it with either wine, oil or honey, you've enriched the bread. It's not anymore considered a bread of affliction. And according to Rabbi Akiva, you are not yetzer with this matzah ashiro, this rich bread. My tamad Rabbi Akiva. What is the reason that Rabbi Akiva did not want to learn oini like Rabbi Yosi Aglili did, to tell us that matzah has to be a type of matzah that you can even eat ba'aninus whilst grieving? He says, miksiv oini. It doesn't say oini with a vav. Oni ksiv. If you look in the Chumash, it says oini is written ayin nun yud, which is oni, which is affliction, which is poverty. It doesn't say oini with a vav. Only oini with a vav would exclusively mean, or would be similar to oini with an aleph, meaning grief. Rabbi Yosi Aglili also knows that oini in the Torah is not written with a vav. However, we're asking, mi korinon oni? Oini korinon. Rabbi Yosi Aglili says, you're right, it doesn't say oini, it says oni. But when you read it, we don't read it oni, we read it oini, with a choylom, with an oi, as if there was a vav there. And therefore we can compare it to oini with an aleph, which means a bread that has to be able to be eaten even whilst grieving, and that excludes ma'aser sheni. Rabbi Akiva, haidu korinon be'oini, this that we read it oini, it's written oni. And that's why Rabbi Akiva did not want to learn, like Rabbi Yosi Aglili, that we compare oini with an ayin to oini with an aleph, meaning grieving. But nonetheless, Rabbi Akiva agrees that you read it as oini, not the way it's written oni. Kedush Shmuel, to learn out the halacha of Shmuel, d'oma Shmuel, lechem oini, the reason, or what we learn from the fact that this matzah is called oini, is a lashon oini also means from the word oinim, that we answer, we declare. Lechem she'oinin olav dvorim harbe, it's a type of bread that we declare on it many things, namely we finish the whole halil on Leil Pesach, we say Haggadah shel Pesach, we make many declarations over this matzah, that's why it's called lechem oini. Continues the Gemara, V'sova Rabbi Akiva iso shenilusha b'yayin v'shemen u'dvash, loy. We just now said that according to Rabbi Akiva, what does he learn from the fact that matzah is called lechem oini? He learns that it's got to be a bread of affliction and if it's a bread that is been enriched with other ingredients, wine, oil, or honey, you're not yet to the mitzvah of matzah. Well, is that true? Votanya, this seems to contradict something we learned in a brisa. Votanya, ein loshin iso bepesach, b'yayin v'shemen udvash. You're not allowed to, you should not knead a bread, a dough, on Pesach with wine, oil, or honey. And that's a number one. Number one is don't do it. V'imlosh, if you did do it, then it's a machlekes tanoim. Rabbi Gamliel says it's impossible to make sure that bread that was kneaded with these, with wine, oil, or honey, that it shouldn't become chometz, and therefore tisarif miyad, providing that it's not Yom Tov, it's Chol HaMoed, or it's not Shabbos, then immediately you should burn it. We assume that it became chometz. The Chachomim say that indeed it could become chometz and you should not do it. However, Yoichel, if you did do it and you made sure you watched it very much, you supervised it shouldn't become chometz, then once it's been baked, we are allowed to eat it and it's not chometz. V'omer Rabakiva. Rabakiva actually argued even with the first statement. He said not only there's a discussion what should you do if you did it, but you shouldn't do it, as the Tanakhama said. Rabakiva said you're allowed to make such bread. V'omer Rabakiva shavti hoiso eitz or shvisosi hoiso eitz Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua. One Pesach I was residing by Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. V'lashti lohem iso, and I needed for them a dough. B'yayin v'shemen u'dvash, with wine, oil, or honey. V'lo amru li dovo, they didn't stop me, they didn't say anything. Right, so Rabbi Akiva obviously holds, you're allowed to do it lekatchila. And this is going to be the question. We just said now, according to Rabbi Akiva, you cannot be yotzei matzah with matzah shira, with this enriched bread. And here we have Rabbi Akiva, who made such bread for Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua. And the Braisa continues, v'afal pi she'ein loshin, and even those who say that you should not knead bread with wine, oil, or honey, mekatfin boy, they agree that you're allowed to smear the bread after it's been prepared. You're allowed to smear it with wine, oil, or honey. And also on the Tanakhama, that's obviously going back on the Tanakhama that says you should not knead the dough with these juices. That, right, that's what they said. Afal pisha ein loshin, that's not following Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, loshin, you are allowed to knead. But back to the Tanakhama who say ein loshin, they agree, mekatfin, you're allowed to smear the bread with these juices. That's also on the Tanakhama, it's going back on the Tanakhama. The Chachomim, those who argue the Tanakhama say, es sheloshin boy, mekatfin boy. If you're allowed to knead with these juices, you're allowed to smear with these juices. Ves she'ein loshin boy, but if you hold, you're not allowed to knead with these juices because the juices will make the bread chometz. In mekatfin boy, you're also not allowed to smear the dough with these juices because they would also make the dough into chometz. Veshavin, and everybody, they both agree, she'ein loshin asa'isa b'poishrin, one should not knead the dough with warm water, because warm water makes the dough become chometz very quickly. So that's the end of the braisa. What do we see in this braisa? That Rabbi Akiva, he would knead the dough on Pesach for Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua with wine, oil, or honey. And this is contrary to what we saw in the first braisa, that Rabbi Akiva said that matzah of that was kneaded with yayin, shemen, and dvash. You're not yotzei on Pesach. Says the Gemara, Leikashya, it's not a question. Ha b'yom tov rishon. The first braisa is talking about the first night of Yontov, where you have a mitzvah of Be'erev Teichlu Matzah, it's a mitzvah chiyuv to eat a kazayis of matzah. That matzah is lechem oni, it has to be a bread of affliction, not enriched with these ingredients. Aha, b'Yontov Sheini, the second braisa is talking about the rest of Yontov. The rest of Yontov, Rabbi Akiva assumes that you can make sure it doesn't become chometz. No problem, if it doesn't become chometz, then you can knead with it and eat it. A similar thing we saw with Rabbi Yeshua, who said to his sons, for the first night of Pesach, when I need to eat a kazayis of matzah, don't knead the bread with milk. But after that, you can knead the matzahs for me with milk. So you see that there's a difference between the first night, where you need to have bread that is going to be used for the kazayis of matzah and the rest of Yom Tov. Asks the Gemara, V'otanya, did we not learn in a braisa? And this is something that we actually learnt about on Daf Lamed previously. Ein loshin es ha'isa b'cholov. Even the whole year round, you're not allowed to knead a dough with milk. You're not allowed to have a milky bread because you may by mistake eat it with meat. V'im losh, and if you didn't need a dough with milk, kolapas asura, you're not allowed to eat it at all. Mipnesh hergel aveira, it can lead to doing an aveira of eating the dough, eating the bread with meat. So how could Rabbi Yeshua say to his children that after the second day of for the rest of Pesach they could knead the dough with milk? The incident wasn't with milk, it was with honey. He said that the first day, when I need to be ate to the first kazayis of matzah, then do not knead for me the dough with honey. Mikan va'ilach, but from the rest of Yom Tov, lushuli bedusha, you can knead for me the dough with honey. V'boyseimo, it could be la'olam b'chalva, the incident did happen with milk. You're going to ask a question, how could he allow them to knead for him bread, dough, with milk? You're never allowed to do that. K'da'oma Ravina, k'en tura. Ravina said that if you knead so little, like the size of an eye of an ox, the ayin of a tura, k'ayin of tura, if you have such a little bit, then shori, it's mutter because it's going to be eaten straight away, and it's not going to be left for the next sudha, and there's no risk of coming to eat this bread with meat. Hochanami k'en tura. Here too, in the incident of Rabbi Yeshua, it was talking about that they needed just a very little bit, like the eye of an ox, and then there was no issue with milky bread. Continues the Gemara. We just saw in the above braisa, v'shovin she'ein loshin es ha'isa b'poishrin. Everybody agrees that matzah should not be made, or any dough on Pesach should not be made with warm water, because it's very easy and quick to become chometz. Asks the Gemara, Maishno mimenochis. We know that the mincha in the Beis HaMikdash was not allowed to become chometz. So, nonetheless, that none we learned it regarding the menochis. Kol ha-menochis niloishis b'poishrin. Before baking the korban mincha, they would knead the dough with warm water. And they would just protect it, they would watch it, make sure it doesn't become chometz. So how can you say here that everybody agrees you should not knead dough on Pesach with warm water because it will become chometz? How could they allow them to knead the dough of the menachis with warm water? They also were not allowed to become chometz. So answers the Gemara, Im Omru Bezrizin, the mincha was done in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, they were done by the Kayanim, with the Kayanim, and they were very meticulous in all the halachas, and they would make sure that the dough would not become chometz. Yoimru, you're going to compare that B'Shein Zrizin to regular dough on a regular Pesach, where regular people, not Kayanim, not Beis HaMikdash, are making the dough, that you, of course, over there you have to be more careful, and over there there's more risk of it becoming chometz, and therefore it was not allowed. Asks the Gemara, if by the menachos you say that since it was done bezrizin, it was done with meticulous people, and therefore there's no risk of it becoming chometz, ihochi milsas nami losis. Why were they not allowed to soak the kernels before grinding them, in order that the flour should be finer? Why were you not allowed to do that? Aloma Omer Abzeira Omer Rabba Bar Yirmiyom Ashmuel Chitin Shel Menochis Ein Loisus In Oisa. Why did they say you're not allowed to soak the kernels of the wheat that was going to be used for the menachos? You were not allowed to soak it because they would become chometz. We were talking about zurizin, we're talking about meticulous people. So allow them to soak it and they would make sure that it would not become chometz. Answers the Gemara, Lisha, the stage of kneading the menachos, the dough for the mincha, bezurizin issa, it was done with a kohanim, with a meticulous people. Lesisa leisa bezrizin. The stage of grinding, which was a stage before kneading, that was done not with a kohanim, that was done even outside the Beis HaMikdosh. A person would bring flour ready to the Beis HaMikdosh. So the lesisa, which was the soaking done before the grinding, leisa bezrizin, was not done with a zrizin. And therefore, one was not allowed to do this for the menachos. Asks the Gemara, so if you're saying that it's got to be, have to be done by the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdosh in order to be sure it would not become chometz, then Velisha Nami, the kneading itself of the Korbanos, didn't have to be done by Kohanim. Velisha Mi Issa Bezrizin, did the Kohanim actually have to do the kneading? No, Voksiv, it says in the Pasuk, and the Pasuk goes like this, V'nefesh Kisakriv Korban Mincha Lashem, Soiles Yeh Korbanoi, that it would be, the korban mincha would be made of fine flour, v'yotzak oleo shemen, v'nosan oleo levoino. And Rashi explains that this mincha we're talking about here, the way it was made is that first the flour was obviously ground, the wheat was ground, and then it was baked. After it was baked, they would crumble the baked mincha, and then they would put some oil into it, Nesinas Hashem, and then they would mix up the pieces, the crumbled pieces of the mincha, they would mix it with the oil, and then they would pour the remaining oil on top of it, and then the Kohen would take a koimetz, a handful of the mincha, and put it on the Mizbeach. So that's what it says here, Voksiv, it says, and what does it say in the Pasuk after that? In the Pasuk afterwards it says, Veviyah el bnei Aaron haKohanim v'komatz. They would then bring the mincha after it was prepared. They would bring it to the Kohanim, and the Kohen would do the kmitza. Would take a handful, a fistful of the mincha, and put it on the mizbeach. So says the Gemara. Says Voksiv. It says in the pasuk v'yotzak oleo shemen, which is after it was ground, after it was baked, after it was crumbled. Then they would pour the oil onto it, the goimer, etc. Only then they would bring it to the Kohen, who would take a fistful. So what do we see from there? Mikmitza ve'elech, only from the stage of having to remove that fistful is mitzvah kohuna, had to be done by a Kohen. Limeid, so we learn from there, al yitzika ubelila, that the pouring of the first time they would pour oil on the crumbled part of the mincha, after it was baked, and the belila, and even the mixing of the oil, shekshera b'chol odom, it did not have to be done by a kohen, and kol shekhen, even more so, that the kneading did not have to be done by the kohen. So if the kneading didn't have to be done by a kohen, then how were you allowed to knead this dough with warm water? Answers the Gemara, Lisha Nehid Bezrizin Leisa. It's true that the Kohanim themselves, who were the meticulous people, were not the ones who had to do the Lisha, but B'mokim Zrizin Issya. However, it had to be done in the Beis HaMikdash. The utensils that were used to measure the flour and to knead in were clay shoris, and these were in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore it was done in the vicinity, under the scrutinizing eyes of the Kohanim, of the meticulous people, and therefore, B'mokim Zrizin Issya. The Omar Mar Blila Kshera Bazor Chutz L'Choyma Sazor Psula. It says explicitly that the mixing of the oil with the crumbled mincha, that even though it was kosher to be done by a non-Kohen, a Zor, however, it was not allowed to be done outside the Azorah, and that's the Blila stage. But even the stages before that, which is from kneading and on, also had to be done in the Beis HaMikdosh. Tosis explains how we know that. But it had to be done in the Beis HaMikdosh, under the watchful eyes of the Kohanim, and therefore there was no risk of it becoming chometz. However, lafuke lesiso, but the soaking of the kernels that would have been done before grinding the kernels to make the flour, de'eino bezrizin v'loy b'mokim zrizin, not only did Kohanim not have to do it, it did not even have to be done in the Beis HaMikdash. The people would bring ready-made flour to the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore, since there was a risk of it becoming chometz, they were not allowed to soak these kernels before grinding the flour. Continues the Gemara. The Minchas Ha'omer, which was made of the wheat of barley and brought on the second day of Pesach, the Tanya we learnt in the Braisa, Minchas Ha'omer loisesin oisar. They would soak the kernels of those, the wheat kernels, before grinding them, but soivrin oisar, and would pile them up and let the water drip out of it. Over there, if you say that even by Menachis, you're not allowed to soak the kernels because it was done at such an early stage, why in the case of the Minchas Ha'omer, where they were allowed to soak and they did soak the kernels before grinding them, even there it didn't have to be done by Kohanim, it didn't have to be done in the Beis HaMikdash, why were they allowed to do that? Answers the Gemara, Tzibur Shani, since the Minchas Omer, unlike other Korban Minchas, belonged to the Tzibur, to the public, there was a special Beis Din that was appointed to make sure that the whole process was done meticulously and carefully, and since each and every stage was scrutinized by these Rabbonim, by these Chachomim, therefore there was no risk of it becoming Chometz, even the stage before the grinding, and therefore they were allowed to soak these kernels in order to have a refined and extra fine flour. Continues the Gemara. And now we're moving on to, are you allowed to make matzah from Bikurim? If somebody brought wheat to a Kohen as Bikurim, we know that Bikurim is from the Shivas Haminim. The people would bring the first of the Shivas Haminim that would grow, that would become ripe, they would bring them to Yerushalayim, to the Kohen. And if the Kohen received some of this wheat, and he now wants to make matzahs out of it, is he yotze the mitzvah of matzah with it? Tanu Rabbanon, yochel yotze odom yidei chivosoi b'bikurim. We would have thought that a person would be allowed to make matzahs from Bikurim. Talmud Lema says in the Pasuk, b'chol moshvei seichem, it says, kol machmetzes lo yisoichelu, don't eat any chometz, in all your dwelling places, in all your dwellings, eat matzah. So we see from there that you're only allowed to eat a type of matzah that could be eaten anywhere. Since Bikurim must be eaten in Yerushalayim and only in Yerushalayim, and therefore you cannot be yetzer, be matzah with Bikurim. Divi Rabbi Yosi Aglili, that was the Yotzu Bikurim She'in Necholim B'chol Meshveseichem Ele B'Yerushalayim, to the exclusion of Bikurim that can only be eaten in Yerushalayim, not in all your dwelling places. Divi Rabbi Yosi Aglili, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Number one, he holds that you're not allowed to be Yotza Matzah, you cannot be Yotza Matzah with Bikurim, and the source is from B'chol Meshveseichem, and that's Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Rabbi Akiva agrees with Rabbi Yosi Aglili that the halacha is you cannot be yotza mitzvahs matzah with Bikurim from a different source. Rabbi Akiva Oimer, matzah umorer, the zeheka shall matzah is umroerim yechluhu. We compare matzah to morer. Ma morer she'enu Bikurim. Bikurim is only ever of the seven species, the Shivas Haminim. Morer is not from the Shivas Haminim. So in the same way as Morer is never from a species of Bikurim, af matzah she'eino Bikurim, so too matzah, you can only be yotza if it's not Bikurim. Asks the Gemara, ima Morer she'ein b'mino Bikurim, af matzah she'ein b'mino Bikurim. Are you going to say that in the same way as Morer, not only is Morer itself never Bikurim, but the species of Morer are not a species which belong to, which are able b'chlal to be brought for Bikurim. So maybe an oitzi, and I'll exclude chitinus oirim, I'll exclude matzah that was made of wheat and barley, sheyesh b'minon Bikurim, they're from the Shivas Haminim, and maybe you're not allowed to make b'yotza matzah from wheat or barley either, because there are a species that one can bring from them Bikurim, even if the matzah was made from wheat that was not bikurim, it is a species of bikurim. Why don't you compare it to moror and say, like moror, the whole species is not bikurim, so too matzah. Says the Braisa Talmud Leimar, matzois, matzois riba, that Rabbi Kiva says, I've got a special word matzois, and added ribui to include that even matzahs made of wheat and barley, which are the species that are able to bring from them bikurim, as long as they themselves are not bikurim, you can be yaitza. E matzois matzois ribo afilo bikurim nami. If you have this extra pasuk of matzois, then maybe you should include from there, even if it's actually bikurim, and not learn from moror. Says the Gemara, Hodar Bei Reb Akiva. Reb Akiva changed his mind, and actually he learns that the source of the halacha that you cannot be yaitza mitzvahs matzah with bikurim is not because we compare it to matzah, rather the posuk of Bechol Moshveisechem Teichlu Matzah is like Rabban Yosi Aglili learns, that you can only be yaitza matzah from a type of matzah that can be eaten in all your dwelling places, not only in Yerushalayim. And we're soon going to, and now the Gemara is going to bring a brisa to that effect. Tanya, Yochil Yotza Odom Yidei Chivose BeBikurim. There's another brisa discussing whether matzah can be made of bikurim, wheat or barley. Talmud Leima B'chol Moshveisechem Toichlu Matzois. This is similar to what Rabbi Yosi Aglili said before, that from the B'chol Moshveisechem Toichlu Matzois, Matzah Necheles B'chol Moshveis, you can only be yotza the mitzvah of matzah with a type of matzah that can be eaten in all your dwelling places. Yotzu Bikurim, to the exclusion of Bikurim, She'eino Necholin B'chol Moshveis Ele B'Yerushalayim, that cannot be eaten in all your dwelling places, only in Yerushalayim. Asks the Gemara, Yochel Shani Moitzi Af Maisa Sheini. Maybe we should bring a proof from here that you're not allowed to have matzah from Maisa Sheini. And we'll remember, we saw in the Gemara on Amud Aleph, the beginning of today's Shia, there was actually Machlekes in the Braisa. Rabbi Yosi Aglili says that matzah of Maisa Sheini, you're not Yoitza. Rabbi Akiva said, matzah of Maisa Sheini, you are Yoitza. So here we've got the Braisa that is saying, Yochel Shani Moitzi Af Maisa Sheini, maybe we can learn from Bechol Moshveisechem that you cannot be Yoitza Matzah from Maisa Sheini, because Maisa Sheini also can only be eaten in Yerushalayim, not outside Yerushalayim. Talmud Leima, Matzois, Matzois Ribo. You can be Yoitza Matzah with Maisa Sheini. You learn it from the extra words, Matzois. And this is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva we saw on Amud Aleph. Asks the Braisa, Umaro Iso Lerabois Maisa Sheini Ulohoitzi Bikurim. You have Bechol Moshveisechem, which says that matzah has to be able to be eaten in all your dwelling places. And then you have Matzois, which includes even matzah that cannot be eaten in all your dwelling places. What made you, Rabbi Akiva, decide that Maisa Sheini, yes, Bikurim not? Says the Braisa, Mara says Rabbi Akiva, Mar be'ani Maisa Sheini. It's easier for me to include Maisa Sheini because in some way it is, even after it's Maisa Sheini in Yerushalayim, it's still able at a pinch to be eaten anywhere. You're not allowed to eat Maisa Sheini anywhere. So when can it be eaten anywhere? Sheyesh lo heter b'chol moishveis. In one specific case, for example, if it became tomei and then it was redeemed, then that Maisa Sheini can now be eaten anywhere else. So you see that even Maisa Sheini in Yerushalayim could ultimately come to a point where you can eat it anywhere. And therefore it passes for Bechol Moshveisechem, and therefore even when it's Tohir, and even in a state where it has to be eaten in Yerushalayim, you can be Yetza Matzah with Maisa Sheini. Could Rabbi Eliezer, like Rabbi Eliezer, we'll soon see where Rabbi Eliezer is, Umoitzi ani Bikurim, and I'll exclude Bikurim, She'ein lam heter Bechol Moshveis. Bikurim, however, there's never a case where you can eat Bikurim outside Yerushalayim. And therefore Rabbi Akiva said, I'd rather exclude from Bechol Moshveisechem Bikurim than Maisa Sheini. Domer Abeliezer, where's this Rebbe Eliezer? Minayin l'maisa sheini shenitmo. Kunt Rebbe Eliezer, he says, how do you know that maisa sheini in Yerushalayim that became tomei, shepoidin oisai afilo b'Yerushalayim, you can redeem it even after the maisa sheini fruit, food has become into Yerushalayim? Talmud Leima, we learned from a posuk. The posuk says, because we know that if you've got fruits of maisa sheini outside Yerushalayim and it's too difficult and the journey is too heavy, you cannot bring the Maaseh Sheni to Yerushalayim. We've learned a number of times you can redeem the Maaseh Sheni, bring the money to Yerushalayim. But that's only because the fruits of Maaseh Sheni have not yet entered the walls of Yerushalayim. Once the fruits of Maaseh Sheni have entered the walls of Yerushalayim, it's already not clear that you can redeem it, even if they were to become Tomei. Rabbi Eliezer says you can, and he learns it from the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Ki yirba mimcha derech, if the journey is too long to carry all these fruits, Ki lo yisuchal se'eso, you're not able to carry all these fruits up to Yerushalayim, Ki yirchak mimcha amokim, Ash yivchar Hashem alekecho, losum shmo yisham, Ki yivrecho Hashem alekecho, and then you can redeem it. So Rabbi Eliezer says that the words, lo yisuchal se'eso, doesn't only mean that you're not able to carry it. It means you're not allowed to eat it. Leisuchal means you're not allowed to, and se'esoy can mean to eat, not just to carry. Ve'ein se'es elo achila. I have a pasuk that tells me that the word se'es could mean eating. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, the pasuk says vayiso maso is ponov alehem vaterev masas binyamim masas kulam chomesh yodes vishtu vishkru imoy. By Yosef it says that he carried the masois, the portions meis ponov from before him, and the portions there were portions of food. So we see that the masas is the portions there are referring to food. So too, in the regarding Maaseh Sheni, when it says le'suchal se'eso, it means you're not allowed to eat it. When would you not be allowed to eat Maaseh Sheni in Yerushalayim? If it became Tomei. So Eliezer learns from here that if Maaseh Sheni became Tomei in Yerushalayim and you can no longer eat it, then you can redeem it even though the fruits have already come into Yerushalayim. So that was the Braisa. The Gemara now tells us that man shomus leidu oma maisa sheni nofak. In this Braisa we see clearly that you can be yotz the mitzvah of matzah with maisa sheni. Who's that opinion? It's Rabbi Akiva. Nofak bei Rabbi Akiva. It's Rabbi Akiva we saw on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. And what else do we see in this Braisa regarding bikurim, v'komemait lu bikurim, le bikurim? And the beginning of the Braisa, the source that you're not yotzah with bikurim, is mibachol moshvei seichem. It's from the pasuk of kol moshvei seichem, not from the fact that matzah is compared to maror. Shma mino, you see from here that hodar bei that Rabbi Akiva changed his mind, and the source for Rabbi Akiva that you cannot be yotzah the mitzvah of matzah with bikurim is similar to that of Rabbi Yosi Aglili from Bechol Moshvei Seichem. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Let's now move to Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Rabbi Yosi Aglili, he learned that Maaseh Sheni, you cannot be Yetzah Mitzvah's Matzah from Maaseh Sheni. Why? From Lechem Oini. That the Matzah has to be able to be eaten even when grieving as an Oini, and Maaseh Sheni you cannot eat whilst grieving. But what did we see in this Braisa here? We're actually going to see in another braisa that according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, let's see the next braisa. Rabbi Yosi Aglili, typically, milechem oini. Why does Rabbi Yosi Aglili say that in the braisa we saw before, that the reason that you're not allowed to be yotza the mitzvah of matzah with bikurim is because b'chol moshvei seichem, Rabbi Yosi Aglili said you cannot be yotza with maaseh sheni because you cannot eat it whilst grieving. You cannot eat bikurim either whilst grieving. So the same lechem oini that excluded maaseh sheni should exclude bikurim. Rabbi Akiva wouldn't say that. Rabbi Akiva says you can learn, you can be yotza the mitzvah of matzah with maaseh sheni. And he says that it doesn't say oini, it actually is written, it says oni. So he argued, but according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, that learns out from Lechem Oini that you have to be able to eat it whilst grieving, Bikurim would be the same. So why do you need a pasuk of B'chol Moshvei Seichem? Typically, Milechem Oini, that Mishenechal B'Oini, only type of bread that can be eaten whilst grieving, is allowed to be used for matzah. Yotzo Zer, to exclude this, She'ein Nechal Ela B'Simcha, that the Bikurim is only allowed to be eaten B'Simcha. Answers the Gemara, Sova Loka Reb Shimon. Rabbi Yosi Aglili actually follows the opinion of Reb Shimon, the Tanya Bikurim Asurim Le'oinon. The Tanakama say indeed Bikurim is not allowed to be eaten in an Oinon state whilst grieving on that first day when a close relative passes away. Reb Shimon Matir. Reb Shimon says you are allowed to. And since you're allowed to eat it whilst grieving, Rabbi Yosi Aglili had to say that I need a different pasuk to say that you're not allowed to use Bikurim for matzah. And he says it's because of B'chol Moshvei Seichem, my time with the Rabbonon. What's the source that according to for the Rabbonon's opinion that Bikurim is not allowed to be eaten as an oinon. Tachsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Lo sucha lechul b'shorecho, you're not allowed to eat outside Yerushalayim in your cities. Maisa, tegoncho, v'soyishcho, v'itzorecho, b'chayrus, b'korcho, v'tzoynecho, v'chol nodarecho, shetidur, v'nidvoisecho, utrumas yodecho. Together with Maisa Sheini, that you're not allowed to eat outside Yerushalayim, it mentions trumas yodecho. Tachsiv, Lo sucha lechul b'shorecho. V'omar mar, and they learned that Trumas Yodecho, the last two words of that posuk, which are included with Maisa Sheini, Eilu Bikurim. That Trumas Yodecho is Bikurim. Bikurim is also called a Truma. D'iskash Bikurim le'maisa. We compare Bikurim to Maiser. Ma Maiser, the same as Maisa Sheini, Osur La'inon is not allowed to be eaten by an Oinon, as we already said previously on Amud Aleph. The posuk says, Le'ochalti mimeni bo'oini, mimenu bo'oini. Af bikurim, so to bikurim, osur la'inon. V'Reb Shimon, what's the source, or how's Reb Shimon going to source his opinion that bikurim is allowed to be eaten ba'oini? He says, truma karin rachmana. The Torah calls bikurim truma. Katruma, it's similar to truma as well. And ma truma muteres la'inon. Truma is allowed to be eaten by an oinon. Af bikurim, muter la'inon. Bikurim is also allowed to be eaten by an oinon. Says the Gemara, Reb Shimon, Nehi the Hekesh Lesley. Okay, so you, Reb Shimon, don't agree of the Hekesh comparing Trumas Yodecho, Bikurim, to Maisa Sheini, and therefore we cannot learn from Maisa Sheini that in the same way as Maisa Sheini cannot be eaten by Aninus, so too Bikurim cannot be eaten by Aninus. But you, Reb Shimon, have to agree, Simcha Mio Michtav Ksivabu. It doesn't speak about Aninus in the parasha of Bikurim, but it does say that Bikurim has to be eaten b'simcha. It says in the pasuk, in the parasha of Bikurim, v'somachta b'chol atoiv ashenosan locha Hashem elekecho ulveisecho atu ba'levi v'agera shebekirbecho. It has to be eaten b'simcha. V'somachta b'chol atoiv. So how can you, Reb Shimon, say that you're allowed to eat the Bikurim whilst in a state of Aninus? It has to be eaten b'simcha. Answers the Gemara, that when it says v'somachtu b'chol atoiv, it's not telling you how to eat the bikurim, it's telling you when to bring the bikurim. Hahu lizman simchu d'asa, there's a time of simcha, it's the time where the harvesting is done, and the food is brought to the home, is collected and brought into the home, that's a time of simcha. A time of simcha, that's the opportune time to bring bikurim, and if you bring bikurim in that time, then you can actually say the whole parasha of the bikurim to the Kohen in the Beis Hamikdash. L'zman simchu d'asa d'etnan, we learned in the Mishnah, me'atzeres v'ad ha'chag, from Shavuos until Sukkos, which is the time of the harvesting and collecting the tvua, the produce, maybe he brings the bikurim, it's a zman simcha, v'koyra, and he reads the whole parasha of the bikurim, as written in Parashas Kisavoy. Me'achag v'ad ha'chanukah, but if you're bringing bikurim after Sukkos, until Chanukah, maybe you can bring the Bikurim. And Rashi brings this posuk that says that you're allowed to still bring the Bikurim till there. But since it's not a Zman of Simcha, you cannot read the parasha of the Bikurim. So that's what Reb Shimon says, that the posuk of a Samachta just tells me when to bring the Bikurim. It doesn't tell me in what state to bring the Bikurim. And according to Reb Shimon, Bikurim is allowed to be eaten by an Oinon. And Rabbi Yosi clearly follows Reb Shimon and therefore needs a different pasuk to tell us that you're not allowed to be yotze the mitzvah of matzah with bikurim. Continues the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, lechem oini, that matzah has to be a bread of affliction. Prat, this excludes lecholut, scalded. That means the flour was scalded before it was kneaded and made into bread. Ulashisha, and to a very big and oversized loaf of bread. And these are very significant, very prominent types of bread. And they are somehow do not fit the bill of lechem oini, the bread of affliction. Similar to what we said before, that matzah ashira, if you enrich the bread with other ingredients, according to some opinions, you're not yotze. Here too, by the cholut and the ashisha, you're not yotze. I may have thought that since it has to be a bread of affliction, you cannot be yotze by using regular fine flour. Maybe you have to use whole wheat flour, coarse flour, because that's really a bread of affliction. Talmud Leimah Matzois Matzois Ribo. Again, we have these extra words, the extra letter Matzois, to tell us to include even fine flour. Vafilu k'matzah shel Shloima, even the time of Shloima Melech, which is that we always speak about the epitome, the highest level of food, k'sudas Shloima b'shaita, and said even bread that's made of very high quality flour is still passes. However, the way the bread is made, it's not allowed to be cholut or ashisha, because that's already too much chashivus, it's too prominent and doesn't fit the bill of lechem oini. Im kein ma tamud loima lechem oini. If you're allowed to use very high quality flour like Shlomo HaMelech would, what does the words lechem oini, the bread of affliction, teach us? Prat lecholut u lashisha, to the exclusion of this bread made of scalded flour or the oversized, very large breads. Umay mashma, where do you see, do you have any source, the high ashisha, that this ashisha, this very large bread, is lishna de chashivusa, is a type of very prominent bread? Says the Gemara, yes, tichsiv, it says in the Pasuk, vayichalik l'chol ha'om l'chol ha'moin yisroi l'me'ish v'ad isha l'ish, per person, chalas lechem achas, a single loaf of bread, v'eshpor echod, which is a portion of meat, v'ashisha achas, which is a loaf. V'ashisha achas, vayelech kol ha'om ish l'beisoi. V'omar r'bchonon bar Abba, R'bchonon bar Abba explained, what does it mean that each person was given eshpor echod? It means eshpor echod mishisha b'par, a sixth of an ox, which is a very large portion of the animal, and which is very prominent, it's a very significant piece of meat. Ashisha is echod mishisha b'eifa. The word ashisha is a sixth of an eifa, which is a very, very large, very prominent and significant loaf of bread. So you see here that ashisha is a very prominent bread, and it contradicts the idea of lechem oini, a bread of affliction, and therefore such a bread should not be used for matzah. Upliga de Shmuel, Rav Chanan bar Abba, the way he explained that pasuk, is arguing with the way Shmuel did. Da'oma Shmuel. Shmuel says that what is Ashisha mentioned in the pasuk is garba de chamra. It's actually not referring to a very big loaf of bread made of a sixth of an epha. Rather, it's a jug of wine. D'chsiv, as it says in the pasuk, v'oi havei ashishei anovim. Over there we're talking about ashishei anovim, is talking about wine. So you see that ashisha is wine, not a bread. And in Yirtzeh Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.